Now, for the fix. This week in The Fix, we're talking about something that, as you heard in the last segment in my interview with AJ Torres, is something that, as you could tell then, that I feel very strongly about. And I know that I get a lot of grief for this opinion, but I feel like I just want to express it again and again and again, because it really doesn't make sense to me. I get that sports are about winning, but they're about winning championships. And one of the main concerns that I hear over and over again in every sport is about player safety. And you hear LeBron James as he's getting up there in age. You hear it about Kawhi Leonard. You hear it about, you know, football. You see them subbing players in and out all the time. Player safety, load management, ways of, you know, keeping their players safe and healthy so that the biggest stars can be playing in the biggest moments. That all makes sense to me. So then why, and this is where the contradiction comes in, if that is so important, then why are we playing overtime? Why are we playing overtime in football? Baseball, it seems to be, you know, it's either 9 innings or 14 innings. Hockey, they've had to come up with gimmicks like penalty shots and, you know, 4-on-4, 3-on-3, 2-on-2, 1-on-1. Basketball, right? Double overtime, triple overtime. No one's playing really to win in those situations when it's close. They're almost playing for like, hey, let's get a tie and get into the next overtime session. But really, do we need overtime? We have overtime in the NFL and we still end up with ties. What happens in the NFL, we all complain, not me, but we all complain about the overtime rules. You know, both teams should get the ball. You know, now in baseball, as we discussed, the runner starts on second. I already talked to you about, you know, penalty shots in hockey, penalty kicks in soccer. If there's no reason, if it's the regular season, let the game end in a tie. You've played 3 periods, 4 quarters, 9 innings, 2 halves, whatever it happens to be, ties are okay in the regular season. Let me be very clear. I'll say it again. In the regular season, a team can have 4 ties, 10 ties. It doesn't matter. There's ways of, right? It's their record is still their record. And it's going to be based on who has the most wins, who has the best winning percentage, and ties can be calculated into that. In hockey, where I guess it's a point system, it's still based on, right? I think it's even simpler. 2 for a win, 1 for a tie, 0 for a loss. Pretty simple if you ask me. It keeps the players, and be it in baseball, pitchers and hitters, hockey, obviously the players, they'll keep them from playing those extra minutes. I remember a stat, granted it's from the 60s, but where Wilt Chamberlain played like 48.6 minutes a game in a 48-minute season, or 48 a game that has only 48 minutes. It's because he played every minute of the game and every overtime. Guys, girls, those days are done. Nobody plays the whole game anymore. So why add extra innings? There's no reason. Why have overtime in the regular season? It's really just say, well, that team won and that team lost, right? Well, it doesn't matter. In the playoffs, so now here's a different side to this, right? In the playoffs, of course, you need a winner of the game. Actually, let me pause and go back a step. If a team really needs to win, so if a team is in a position where they need to make the playoffs or they want to be the number one seed to get a bye, or whatever it is, and they need a win to do that. A tie just doesn't do it. They're going to give that extra bit of effort that they have or can to get the win. It actually makes the sport become more competitive. So I don't think you lose anything in the regular season that way. In the playoffs, let's solve overtime in the playoffs for every team or for every sport. Here, it's pretty simple. In football, you play an extra quarter. Each team's going to get the ball unless a team can run out 12 minutes of the clock or 15 minutes of the clock and, you know, not let the other team get the ball, probably very unlikely to happen. So they play a full quarter and you see, hey, who can win that quarter, right? We went 4, we couldn't win, you know, we didn't get a winner there. So in the playoffs, we're going to play 1 full quarter to get a winner. And guess what? If you need to shorten the quarters, maybe, you know, to 10 minutes or to 7 minutes, whatever the case may be. You can shorten them, or if you want to shorten them as each overtime goes on, so the first quarter's 15, the second one's 10, and then it goes 5-5-5-5-5 until you get a winner, I'm okay with that too. But it eliminates the, you know, both, you know, the sudden death, or, you know, I'm talking a lot about football. I know I'll get to the other sports, but if you get a touchdown, you win. But if you kick a field goal, then the other team gets the ball. And then if they get a field goal, well, then you get the ball back again. But if they score a touchdown, they win. Oh, but if the defense scores a touchdown, okay, then all rules are off. Huh? Let's just make it the game. In hockey, you play an extra period. Again, you want to shorten the periods? Shorten the periods. But play the game. It's not 3-on-3. It's not 4-on-4. It's not a shootout. A shootout is like a skills challenge. That is not the game. That doesn't decide which is the better team. And the whole point of overtime and the whole point of playing games and winning games is to determine who's the better team at that sport. Not at penalty kicks. Not at penalty shots. Right? At that sport, 5-on-5. Now, if you get a penalty, et cetera, and there's a power play, completely different animal. So you play an extra period. Again, you can play with the length of time, but everyone has an opportunity to win in the actual sport. Same with baseball. Baseball has overtime right. They play an extra inning, and each team gets their three outs. They get their at-bats. They're in the field, and off you go. They've got it right. Don't change a thing. Just don't do it in the regular season. You already play, other than this season, you already play 162 games. If it's tied at the end of 9 innings in the regular season, let it be. Playoffs, play your extra innings just as you would. So that's my piece. That's the fix. Let's make some more ties in the regular season, and let's play the actual game in the playoffs. I haven't talked about officiating in a long time. It's been, I want to say, a year or two, definitely 2 years ago when the Saints got robbed of that playoff win with that pass interference no call. But I thought this would be a time to bring it up again, because I've noticed, not as much in the NFL as of yet, but I'm still seeing glimpses of it. Definitely in baseball, with balls and strikes, that's always going to be something that drives me nuts. Why does that drive me nuts? Because every umpire has a different strike zone, which is preposterous. This is a professional sport being played by grown men getting paid millions and millions of dollars, and you don't know where each umpire's strike zone will be based on any given day. To the NBA, we've never seen, or I've never seen, so much whining, so much complaining, so much flopping by players that can influence refs' decisions. And for those that just look at the end of the game and say, well, look, free throws are right around the same, it's all... No, stop it. That's not true. Just because free throws might be fairly equal in a game, that has not as much to do with the officiating of the game as you think, because there's so many fouls that are called that are non-shooting fouls. They are situational fouls where, you know, the best player on the team gets two or three quick fouls in the first quarter, first half, kind of phantom calls sometimes, that takes them out of the game and completely changes the complexity and the dynamic of that game. And don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that there's refs who are favoring one team or another, or it's fixed. I'm not saying that, although this segment is called The Fix. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they get influenced too easy. The games are too fast. The players are too big and too strong and too fast for any team of two refs or three refs or umpires to really catch all the nuances of the game. Now, I'm not saying call everything. In fact, I'd rather they didn't call everything, because it just slows down the game and it makes it boring. No, what I'm asking for is consistency. If a foul is a foul is a foul, then it's a foul 1 minute into the game. It's a foul with 1 second left in the game. And if it's a foul when you do it to one player, it is when you do it to another player. The idea, it's kind of like baseball's unwritten rules, or, Oh, he got a superstar call. No. If he's a superstar or she's a superstar, then they probably already have some advantages because they are just, they work harder, they're more gifted athletically. I don't know what the reason is. They've got more mental fortitude. There's a reason that the player is a superstar already. We don't need to give them calls as well. I'm looking for consistency here. So how can we fix some bad officiating? Well, one of the things that drives me nuts is calls that are wrong or that are obviously wrong. And unless you challenge it or it goes into this long, drawn-out replay process, it doesn't get overturned fast enough and it changes the flow of the game. So how can we fix it? Again, here's the easy solution. One, tennis has the technology that they know when a ball is in or out instantaneously. The tech there is phenomenal. And it can be used similarly in baseball for balls and strikes. Now, I'm not suggesting take the base judges or the umps out of the game. I think they're an integral part. However, having an earpiece plugged into them, so whenever they're not sure or to help with or to correct them when they're wrong, as to not embarrass them, right, in front of the other players, the other coaches, the crowd, right, it'd be good to have that person in their ear helping them along the process. And what do I mean by embarrassing them? I get it. I'm a ref. I make a call. And if it's egregious that I need to then go and watch a replay of it, I'm siding on my own, right? To say, well, if it's close, I'm going with what my call was. You know, you hear it all the time. Well, the call on the field, right? If there's no 100% evidence that it's the other way, it's the call on the field stands. Yeah, because you don't want to embarrass the ref. However, you have the technology and you have the people that you can have these booths. And I've talked about this about football before, but I think you can incorporate it into every sport where you have a booth ref or two who are watching the play as it happens right away. And they're replaying right away. And they're in communication with the on the field refs and judges. And look, if it's so obvious that anyone can see it, a quick call down, say, hey, this is the call. Boom, correct it. No need for replay. No need for a long, drawn-out process. Now, you can still have your challenges, right? There's still plays that are bang-bang plays, as they say, or where you can't see certain camera angles. Great. However, just think of all the plays that we could get right. And at the end of the day, that's what you want, right? You want the right call, whether you're a fan of the team or not. You want the right call to be called. It'll speed up the flow of the game. You can get through things a lot quicker. There'll be less replays because if you're a coach and it's a 50-50 ball and you know that the ref on the field called it one way and they've been in communication with someone watching replays constantly up in the booth who've said, yeah, that's the right call, you're good to go, the likelihood is it's probably not going to get overturned. You're a lot less likely to challenge that. Again, there could be some exceptions. So for baseball, for hockey, right, for offsides, that should be a given. Boom, right away, you know whether that is or not. Baseball, hockey, football, basketball. There's all those little, you know, the out-of-bounds plays where they have to, you know, pick up the screen and turn it around and they have to go to the press booth and sit there and watch it over and over again, you know, a million different times just to know that, hey, I saw that guy tipped it out. Like, it's pretty clear. It could be done much quicker up in the booth and just call down the play. So please, please, the umpires, the refs, and the officials, oh my. Normally on the fix, listen, it's negative. We tell you a problem and what the solution should be. But we're going to start this week. We're going to start this week positive. We're going to start this week positive, and we're going to congratulate me. I'm giving myself a pat on the back. You can't see it right now, but I am. Because this year, maybe the first time and maybe the only time in my history of making predictions, did I pick the winner of every series in the Major League Baseball in the playoffs. Every single one got it right. In fact, for those of you that follow on Instagram and Twitter, sports_fluent, I also picked the Los Angeles Dodgers in six, which they accomplished. So we're going to start off by congratulating me and the Los Angeles Dodgers for bringing the World Series back to LA after 32 years. Congratulations to the Dodgers. They earned it. I think they were the best team. They had the most talent, and they finally got over the hump and won the World Series championship. However, it brings us to a point about baseball that we need to discuss. No one watched. LA is the biggest market. Between LA and New York is the biggest market in North America, and nobody watched the World Series. Now, when I say no one, it's like 5 million people. There was more people watching in the Alabama-Georgia game in college football a few weeks earlier than there were watching game 5 or game of the World Series. That shouldn't be the case for America's pastime. Now, I know football's really taken over, and we should even be calling baseball America's pastime anymore. But why is that? Well, it's because the games are too long. The pitchers take too long to pitch. There's way too much inconsistency with each umpire's strike zone. There's just too many issues with the game. So for those traditionalists, and they'll fight me on it, and that's fair, they don't want to make radical changes to the game, right? We talked about, you know, a pitch clock and, you know, those types of things. I get it. You know, it changes the game from what it is. So here's my suggestion. All right, fine. Leave baseball the way it is. The problem is, if you've watched Brockmeyer, I don't think that's far-fetched if you watched the last season, which, you know, hopefully you did. It was a pretty good series until the last season. However, we'll have that conversation another day. They showed what happened and could happen to baseball, that no one watched it anymore. And a lot of the things that they brought up in the show were real. It's too long. There's too many inconsistencies. There's all these unwritten rules and all that kind of stuff. And all right, so I'm not going to mess with baseball. I'll leave it the way it is. I want somebody to step up and start a new league. And they can call it something else, obviously still baseball, but a different baseball league. Maybe that's what we'll call it, a different baseball league, the ADL. And what we're going to do in the ADL is we're going to have a pitch clock. We're going to have a limit on how many pitchers can play in any given game. We are going to have a limit on the strike zone. It's going to be electronic. Think of tennis with their, you know, they have a line judge, but they have an amazing, amazing technology that shows if the ball is in or out. And there's no question, right? We see it on TV. You see the little box and you can kind of tell, you know, the technology I think is there. So we're going to have a set strike zone. The umpires will still be there. They'll be tapped into a couple of guys up in the booth who are watching the videos and replays. We're going to eliminate replays because they're going to be watching in real time on those video screens, multiple people, and they'll be talking. They'll be mic'd in to the umps on the field, telling them, you know, safe, out, you know, foul ball, fair ball, etc. They're going to get the calls right. They're going to get the calls right fast. And we're going to limit the amount of replay and wasted time, you know, scratching my you-know-what and grabbing my hoo-has and all this stuff that makes baseball take forever. We're going to eliminate it. You know what else we're going to do? We're going to make it 7 innings. I know. I'm blasphemous. You kill me. I know. I get it. However, that's what we're going to do. We're going to make a different baseball league. We're going to shorten the games. We're going to eliminate extra innings in the regular season. They'll only be played the way it is now, one extra inning until we have a winner in the playoffs. And we're going to make the game short. We're going to make the games fun. We're going to make the games interesting. We're going to make them consistent with the calls. We're going to get the calls right. We're not going to waste time on replays and arguing balls and strikes. And no unwritten rules, right? Anyone that wants to do that, they can go back to Major League Baseball, no problem. And we're going to fix this game and make it interesting and make people want to watch it again.
Oh, thank you. I'll tell you no matter.